But if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for gathering us together to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege to meet and worship you today. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege. Thank you for that freedom. And help us to be attentive today. Help us to study thy word. Help us to learn from thy word and apply thy word. And Lord, give me the ability to deliver this message now. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been preaching through the book of Philippians, verse by verse. The book of Philippians is the book of Christian joy. It's broken into four chapters. Chapter 1 is broken into two parts, joy in prayer and joy in suffering. Chapter 2 is broken into three parts. There's joy in being humble, joy in obedience, and joy in good company. Chapter 3 is all about the joy of looking forward. Chapter 4 talks about the joy in focusing and joy in giving. We've preached on all of these topics except joy in giving, so this is where the message falls. Chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So Paul, the first thing he mentions is he's not speaking in respect of want. So he's not speaking from greed. He's not trying to be greedy and saying that I want your money. He's just saying that this is giving is a good thing. He's willing to serve God with or without their money, with or without their giving. Regardless of doing without, he's going to serve. Paul served with selflessness. He had a servant attitude whenever it comes to things. And he was going to serve God even in the best times and in the worst times. And there was times whenever he struggled financially due to the lack of support that he had from other churches. And understand that this kind of attitude is actually a qualification for ministry. You cannot be in it for the sole purpose of making money. You can't act like Benny Hinn. You can't act like Kenny Copeland. You can't act like Joel Osteen. And in my book, none of these guys are qualified. They preach a false gospel. They preach heresy. They preach a gospel that is not the gospel of this Bible. They're leading people to hell just to make a dollar. That is evil, in my opinion. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop or pastor, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, meaning not wanting dirty money, but being patient, not a brawler, not covetousness. And these people act and preach out of covetousness. Turn just a couple pages over to Titus chapter 1. And verse 7, it's almost the same verse. If it's found in two places, then it must be doubly important. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. So a pastor must not be tempted by dirty money. So there are many pastors, on the other hand, who refuse to preach on giving because too many pastors have made it bad. They've messed the topic up. They say, well, I don't want to preach on giving because too many bad pastors messed up the topic. But a pastor is really called to preach the whole counsel of God. You're supposed to preach the whole Bible. So if you're going to preach on giving, it must be done biblically, though, and through an honest heart. And I believe that's what Paul was doing here. So we cannot ignore the fact that the Bible teaches on giving. We've been preaching verse by verse through Philippians, and this is where we land today. And I'm not going to skip over this topic because I want to be obedient to the Word of God and preach the whole counsel of God. Notice in the next verse on Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So he's encouraging that. Well done. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So they had an early desire to be generous. They were new Christians and they were generous right from the start. And Paul was going to encourage that. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity. Understand this, that chronologically, Paul, whenever he evangelized Philippi, he went straight to Thessalonica. So these people were brand new Christians, and they sent twice to him while he was in Thessalonica. And he was not in Thessalonica a very long time. He was only in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. And in 3 weeks, he received two offerings from them. So they were very zealous whenever it comes to giving. And Paul is encouraging that. There's joy in giving because we see the fruit of our giving. Let's look at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift. So he makes that extra clear. Not because I desire a gift, but desire fruit that may abound to your account. There's joy in supporting ministries. There's joy in supporting missionaries. I have been blessed to be part of churches before who supported a bunch of missionaries. And how it works is a missionary will come to the church. He's saying, this is where I plan on going. This is what I believe doctrinally. And then after the missionary leaves, the church would vote on this missionary whether or not we're going to support him. And how if we vote on that, how much are we going to pay him and this and that. And then nothing is more joyful than whenever you see that missionary return on his furlough and he shows a PowerPoint of the church that he has built with the funds that the church has provided to him. And you see people getting baptized. You see the congregation that he has built. You see how many people he's led to the Lord. And he says, I wouldn't have been able to have done this without the grace of God and the support of the churches that supported him. That is a joyful thing to see the fruit of your giving. Recently, we just announced that we've received, that Blueprint for Revival has received the funds for the Ivory Coast property. And I look forward to seeing what the Lord is going to do with that. That is the fruit of the church's giving. Be thankful for that. Be joyful because of that. And be joyful in giving to your church. Many of you have been here long enough to see people saved. Many of you have been here long enough to see backsliders get right with God. Y'all have seen how this church has reached out to this community and impact this community for good. That is the fruit of your giving because we have a blessing. We have a building. We're blessed to have a building to meet in. We're blessed to have lights on in this building, running water in this building. That is the fruit of your giving. So to point out the fruit of giving, you have to talk about what we're doing with it. Whenever a missionary talks about what he's going to do, whenever he goes to a foreign country, if he accomplishes that, that's the fruit of your giving. So how do you preach on giving? Talk about the fruit of giving. What is that going to accomplish? You know, most secular organizations do that. You know, think about Wounded Warrior Project. They say that with the funds that we receive from y'all, we're going to help a soldier get back on his feet. That's a good thing, and it's a good thing to support a cause like that. The NRA does that. Hey, we don't want the Democrats to get the guns, so we're going to hire folks to lobbyists and stuff to talk to them and debate with them so that y'all won't have to deal with that. So people don't mind supporting a cause. Most pastors today try to trick people into giving. Some pastors try to shame people into giving. Why do that whenever you can just say, look, this is what this is going to accomplish. This is how we're going to reach our community with the funds. Churches should preach about the fruit of giving, not shame people into doing it. Next point I want to make is having a giving heart. We're going to talk about a man named Epaphroditus. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. Understand this, that Epaphroditus, he was the person who delivered the offering from Philippi to Paul while he was in prison. And he realized that the offering was not enough. So he got a job in Rome and worked to make up the difference. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Epaphroditus is with Paul as he's writing this. Yet I supposed it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered unto my wants. And so he's saying, I'm going to send him back with this letter of the Philippians. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrows. So Epaphroditus was working in some probably difficult conditions, and he got sick or caught a disease while working, and Paul would have been very sorrowful if Epaphroditus had died trying to help him. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord, and with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack towards of service toward me. So Epaphroditus had a giving heart. Let's read about another person who had a giving heart. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in upon the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. So she had a giving heart, and I think that Christians should be a giving person. I know a pastor one time that, I'm not going to say the name of the pastor, I'm not going to say the name of the church, but the church was going through very hard financial crisis, basically. Their financial reports, basically, you could look at the amount and say, ooh, we have one more month like this, and this church will go under. And the pastor held up his hand. He said, I voluntarily will take a pay cut until we get out of this. And I thought, wow, that's a real leader. That is a real leader. So a Christian should have a giving heart. Next point I want to make is being a willful giver. We're going to read on how the Corinthian church said that they were going to give an offering to a struggling church in Jerusalem, and Achaia and the Macedonian churches stood up and said, we will do that as well. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. So these churches heard from the Corinthian church that they were going to give to this struggling church in Jerusalem. Verse 25. And they decided to do the same thing. But now, I, Paul, go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contributions for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul speaks more about this to the Corinthians who first made that offer. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to understand, the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, they had joy in giving, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So they gave liberally in the midst of great trial and affliction and deep poverty. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. So they were saying, please take this, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And that's how you should serve God in every aspect of your life. You first give yourself to the Lord, saying, here am I, Lord, send me. And then you give yourself to your neighbor and how he wants you to serve. So they first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so they were very willful in their giving. My next point is being a dependable giver. Turn just a page over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I mentioned earlier that the church at Achaia and Macedonia heard that Corinth was going to give this offering to Jerusalem, this church in Jerusalem. And they thought, wow, we want to do that too. Well, let's read what Corinth did. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you. He's writing to Corinth. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago. A year ago. So they heard about this a year ago, and they went on ahead and gave to that church at Jerusalem, but yet the church, the first church to mention giving to Jerusalem, they didn't give it, and a year had passed. For I know the forwardness of your mind, that is the church of Corinth, for which I boast of you to them to Macedonia. So he told the people in Macedonia and Achaia that they were going to give this offering to Jerusalem, was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain on this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. He's saying these churches that struggled financially, that gave as soon as they found out that you were going to do this, what if I had brought them with me and they found out that you didn't give after you done motivated them to do it and they found out that you didn't do it? He's saying, what would happen if I brought them with me? Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he's letting them know, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. So he's saying, so if you choose to make all this noise about giving and then not doing it, just understand that if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you do what you say you're going to do and sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Every man according as he proposeth in his heart. So they proposed in their heart to do something good and then didn't do it. So he's saying, look, just do what you said you were going to do. Every man according as he proposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. So he's saying, don't do it because you feel like you have to do it. For God loveth a cheerful giver. There is joy in giving. So he encourages them to be willful givers. He encourages them to be dependable givers. And Paul warns them about sowing sparingly. The last point I want to make is we cannot outgive God because God gave it all to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he gave his only begotten Son to him, to us. And he gave you and I everything that we have, all the blessings that we have. God, it's because God gave it to us. And when we give, we're only giving a portion back. There is joy in giving. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. It has been a joy preaching through Philippians. But that concludes our study through the book of Philippians. But there are still some verses that I have not yet read, so I'm just going to give reverence to the Word of God and finish reading the book of Philippians just to say that we completed the whole book. Verse 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That concludes our study verse by verse through Philippians. And I got to say, it has been a joy preaching through the book of Philippians. Understand this, that about a year ago, I battled with depression. I was a Christian who battled depression. And so I studied verse by verse the book of Philippians. And this turned into a very fruitful study for this church. The devil meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. The Lord has blessed this study. Let's conclude in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for giving me the privilege to preach through your word. The book of Philippians. Help us to leave this study with joy in our hearts and to study joy and to know joy personally. And I just pray for everyone here that we may be good ground, that we may bear fruit. And I just ask that you bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Has God spoken to your heart? We've been preaching through the book of Philippians. We have been studying the topic of joy. Maybe you're in here today and you're struggling with depression also. You're lacking joy. Maybe you need to give that need to the Lord today. Maybe you've never known joy because you've never known the giver of joy, Jesus Christ. I invite you to come and invite Christ into your heart. I invite you to come to give whatever need you have this stealing away your joy. Why don't you come today and give it to the Lord today?